devoted to bringing you some spiritual truth to consider every day, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us. My podcast today is going to be a little different than normal. I had planned to talk about something from Romans 8, but instead I had just gotten this email today, and it's from the Keller Center for Cultural Apologetics, and it's 10 key insights from a survey. Pew Research Center does a survey every 10 years called their Religious Landscape Survey, where they just basically do a massive survey of people across the United States and sort of their religious background and where they are now. And this article just kind of pulls 10 sort of important things we may want to be aware of. The Keller of Keller Research is Tim Keller, who's one of my favorite pastor authors, who always emphasizes the importance of knowing the culture that you're preaching the gospel into. We do not change our message. Our message is, you know, Christ died to save sinners, and then that is available to everyone. But that when our audience changes, we want to make sure that we are preaching in a way that they hear. And so some key insights that we might want to know as those who are interested in sharing the good news with those around us. And I'm just going to read them now. One, the temporary plateau of the nuns. The decline of the self-identified Christians has temporarily leveled off, and the rise of the nuns, meaning those who espouse no religious beliefs, has temporarily plateaued at the same time. However, for every one nun who becomes a Christian, six Christians become nuns. Two, growing generational divide. Generations divide around attendance, religiosity, and religious practices. As time progresses, generational replacement will continue religious decline in America. Three, the rise of the non-denominationalism. Only two denominations saw any growth from 2014 to 2024, the PCA and COGIC, and the growth of each was relatively small. Four, increased spiritual migration. High rates of spiritual migration occur between different denominations, traditions, and religions. Some of that migration is into Christianity, but most of it is out of Christianity into the nuns. Five, immigration has increased diversity in multi-ethnic congregations. Immigration is altering the religious landscape significantly in two different ways. First, evangelicals are becoming increasingly more ethnically diverse. Second, immigrants are slightly growing religious traditions that are less than 2 to 3%, such as Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism. As a result, especially in urban areas, multi-ethnic churches are increasing, and many now worship in congregations with no single racial ethnic group larger than 50%. Six, correlation of conservative politics and religious faith. Broadly speaking, religion is coding more conservative than liberal, as political progressives move away from Christianity at faster rates than their conservative counterparts. Seven, surge in spiritual but not religious. Many people are embracing what Tara Isabella Burton calls remixed religion, a grab bag of individualized spirituality that increased interest in things like tarot cards, horoscopes, mysticism, and mindfulness. Eight, interfaith marriages hurt religious devotion. Rising religious intermarriage has led to lower levels of religious observance, religious practice, and spiritual intensity. Nine, family faith is important, but becoming less so. Strong religious tradition in your family correlates to remaining affiliated in the faith of one's youth, but 40% of the younger generation that grew up with strong religious family traditions attend less frequently now than before. And 10, more younger men are turning to religion. The gender gap is narrowing between men and women. Among younger generations, there are now more men than women in church. These are very interesting insights. I have a few verses that I want to read just kind of in response to that as we think about how do we step into this culture that is changing around us. Now, it's going to be different in Sebring than New York City, than, you know, Topeka, Kansas, than Seattle, Washington. But as we look at that religious landscape happening in America, some ways to help think about it. These are verses that came to my mind. First, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. It's a reminder that we live in days that are moving away from religious faith, and we want to walk wisely in them. And where do we find wisdom? From God and His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." It's a call for, you know, pastors specifically in the case of Timothy, but for all of us to be faithful to the work that God has called us to. And part of that work, not just the pastors, but all of us, is to be evangelists, to share the good news of Christ in our lives with the world around us. And finally, this is a verse that will be familiar to all of you, Matthew 9, 35 to 38. "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Now, God, we recognize that the harvest is plentiful in America too, even in a culture that is seemingly becoming more and more post-Christian. God, may we practice wisdom and evangelism and living the kind of lifestyle that shows as beautiful and desirable a faith in a real and living God that has a plan for us today, that has spoken to us through his word, and who is calling us to be a light in the darkness. Lord, give us the courage, give us the compassion, and give us a heart to share that good news that has so changed our stories with the people who are around us. We pray this for your glory and our good, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for tuning into another edition of Let's Talk. Church family, you are loved. Have a blessed day.